Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Well, this morning, while you might have checked your email or sat in traffic going nowhere, the NASA Dawn spacecraft became the first spacecraft to orbit around a dwarf planet. After a pit stop at the asteroid Vesta, Dawn ended its 3.1 billion mile journey to the dwarf planet Ceres. Ceres is the largest object in the stretch of space between Mars and Jupiter, and scientists say celestial bodies like it have a lot to tell us about how our solar system formed. Carol Raymond, the deputy principal investigator of the mission at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, explained more at a briefing earlier this week.
One of the prime motivations of the Dawn mission is to examine these building blocks of the planets, Vesta and Ceres, which are two intact protoplanets from the very dawn of the solar system.
Well, here to help us understand this all a little more is Kelly Beatty, senior editor for Sky and Telescope. Welcome to Radio Boston, Kelly.
Hey, Magda.
Okay, so this is so cool. Like, I think planetary and space exploration is just in a great moment right now. But before we get any further, what exactly is a protoplanet?
It's one of the building blocks that went into building the Earth and Mars and all of the inner planets. This one happens to be about, roughly 500 miles across. So it's a lot smaller than we are. But, it was a construction project 4.5 billion years ago. And objects like this, a lot of them came together to make the planets.
So a 3.1 billion mile journey that Dawn took to get to Ceres, the way it got there was pretty amazing.
Yeah, this is great. It doesn't use a rocket like we're used to thinking of. It uses xenon as its fuel.
And xenon gas?
Yes. And rather than burn it, It first creates ions out of the atoms, and then it accelerates those ions to really fast speeds, up to 10 times faster than the conventional rocket. It only came with about 0.5 ton of fuel, this xenon gas, and yet it's managed to accelerate the spacecraft 24,000 miles per hour. Try to get that on a few tanks of gas.
Oh. Okay, well, a few days ago, people got really excited, or scientists got excited, because apparently Ceres was reflecting massive amounts of light off of its surface. So solar light being reflected off its surface. Why is that so thrilling?
Yeah, overall, Ceres is pretty dark, but there are a couple of spots in the bottom of a crater that were photographed by Dawn. We'll get a better look at them soon. But, Dawn is thought to be about 1/4 ice by mass. And so that's a lot of potential ice. It's underneath the surface. Think of a Tootsie Pop with a sort of rock metal core and this big slab of ice wrapped around the outside. This may be little bits of ice peeking through a dusty crust and showing us a little hint of what might be inside.
Okay. Could it be salt or salts, metals, water?
Yeah, water. Water is a good bet. And so two theories. One is that something hit Ceres and created a splash, and so we're seeing that bright splash. The other is there's a crack of some kind and stuff is oozing out from inside. At some point in its past, Ceres was probably hiding a subsurface ocean, and it's possible that a little of that still remains and can kind of ooze out like slushy lava.
So quickly, how large is Ceres in relation to, say, the Earth or Mars?
Oh, it's much, much smaller. Okay. It's about no more than about 500 miles across. That's not even from here to Washington, D.C. So it's a fairly small object. As we said, it's a building block. But it's a survivor. In the asteroid belt, it and Vesta are the two largest objects, and these are the ones that have managed to keep from getting smashed to smithereens over 4.5 billion years.
Wow. Okay. So while I've got you quickly, we're talking about orbiting a man-made craft around distant objects in the sky. It reminded me of Rosetta, the European Space Agency's craft that landed on a comet. What's going on with Rosetta?
Oh, Rosetta's doing just great. This comet is going to be coming its closest to the sun in August. And so as Rosetta keeps going around, the comet will get more and more active. And that's the whole name of the game here, to see a comet really turn on and what happens.
All right. Well, Kelly Beatty is senior editor for Sky and Telescope. He is our guide to all things celestial. Kelly, thanks so much.
Hey, clear skies, Magda.
And we'll go out into the break with this piece of music named for Ceres, performed by the Berlin Philharmonic. Stay with us. I'm Magda Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.